Good morning, everybody. Very happy to see so many people. My name is Rutger Rosendahl. I'm from the Netherlands, working in a software development company. And today I like to focus our talks more about how to use these digitized materials. So what the previous speaker talked about, how to bring it to expositions. And I like to show some examples to stick to the ground. We have in the hall two screens also where later you can try yourself the exhibitions. Because for me it's always, if people have the touch and the feel themselves, it's always better than to talk about it. So let's go through this. First, I like to talk briefly, because most of you know it, about digitized art in the last 10 years. And yeah, we saw in the presentations yesterday, the two directors, they talked about huge amount of servers, large archives to be stored, challenges with, many books, many pages, many artworks. So we have been doing this for a long time, still there is a lot to do. But already the amounts of data, it made clear that we need good search engines. So that was also a part of our development the last years. But in the end, if you think from the museum visitor point of view, a search engine is just a small bar where you type something and then you find something and you get quite dry metadata, and the object is a digital scan, probably quite small on the screen. So this is not really a museum experience yet. It's close to archiving and to store and to keep it safe for the next generation, but not really telling the story of the object yet. So this is something we found out also, let's say, 2-3 years ago, that actually this storyline that is around the art object, that is what it brings to the museum visitor. So we need this storyline. And that's what most museums do. They have nice expositions and they bring a story. And I think we should still do that, but we're not doing that with digital art. We're doing it only with physical objects. And digital art, digitized art, I should say, is something which is stored on a hard disk. This world is not really merging at the moment. What you do see is that there are some sort of virtual exhibitions, so people can select digital objects, write something with it, and put it in a storyline online. But what I think there is still lacking is that many people say, like, okay, it's digital, it's very good, you can view it anywhere in the world, on any device, perfect. But I think in the end, people, because of anywhere and anyhow, it's also very, there's no commitment. If you go to a museum, you also buy a ticket, you also reserve maybe 2-3 hours to take your time to go into the art. And this is a problem with this digital stuff which is anywhere, and that is kind of on the next slide. There's this quote, okay, the Mona Lisa is digitized, it's true. But let's say you're in a crowded metro and you're watching it on your phone, it's not the same experience as going to a museum. So what is now really this experience? That's what I want to focus on. And can we bring this experience also with digital objects? So our statement is that we should bring these digital objects more back into this museum experience. And we worked in a project, the Europeana Space, was called, and there we had like a year time to work with people from museums and think together. We are ourselves more technology minded, but you need experts from the museum world to come up with good solutions. And what came from there is what I call what we call MUPOP. It stands for Museum Pop-Up, and it basically assumes that if you have nice art, it's good to display this on big screens also. And we see a way that we use these phones that everybody has You can say everybody has a spaceship in his pocket. I mean, these things, they have processors that are as powerful as computers, but they are mostly used for emailing, Facebooking, and that's it. Well, they could do much more. So if you use these big screens and the phones, we believe there can be a setup that you can reuse the stuff which is in your archive and really bring it to the people into nice stories, and people actually stand in front of one artwork and find all kinds of details, be busy for 15 minutes with it. So another thing that we, when we're thinking of these big screens and phones, is that we don't think people should install any software, because a visit to the museum, or if you're walking somewhere outside, could be also on a big digital billboard, you will not download an app for this. I mean, it's a hassle, you need to know the password, it's another thing on your phone, you have to delete it later. So we think this should work without any software installation. So, yeah, maybe just briefly, and then I'll go to the examples because they're much more powerful, but think of physical spaces again. Yeah, I was walking in Budapest, not last night, but the night before. I saw at certain point some big photos displayed along the water. And then I take my time to stand still there and to watch it. So this physical setup, it's quite important. No apps, just browsers. We also believe that the phone should be a controller. So don't force people to read on it or to do complicated stuff. I mean, everything should happen on the big screen. This is just to control the fact that it has a touch screen. This is very intuitive. You could do all kind of zooming, pointing, selecting, and you could personalize. That is, for instance, if my phone is on Dutch, I could send Dutch audio to it. If it's on English, I could send English audio. Or if I'm a kid of, let's say, 12, it's a different type of audio you could send to this phone, because kids, they are interested in other stuff. And the last point is, which it requires a bit more of the museums, but also try to search for a cinematic experience. And what is that? Is that if you can listen and view, so you hear something and you see something quite nicely big, it's like being in the cinema. It really comes to you. Well, what you see in most museums is that you have a painting and then there's a description beside it on a small paper, and then the eyes have to go like, okay, yeah. And I don't believe this is a very good interaction. It's better to hear, maybe touch with the finger, but keep the eyes focused on the screen. Okay, now is the exciting part, because live demos are always a bit scary. I'll go now to a web browser on my computer. This is, I don't know if everybody knows this in the public, but browsers, they can go in full screen mode, which is a great thing. So it basically means that this bar on the top, where you see the browsing, what you can type the address, it disappears. And now we have a very nice exposition screen here. I'll go. Is that microphone?
Hello?
Yeah. So what you see here is an exhibition screen. This is something we made in a hackathon, and I like to demonstrate it to you. People can see this on the street, it can be in the entrance hall of the museum. And they see a URL there, mupol.net. Type that on the phone again without any installation on the browser, and then you type this code, I4, then the exhibition reacts. So now I'm inside. The phone is the controller, everything just web-based. And now what I can do with my finger is I can move the dot over the painting. And we paid a lot of attention on this delay, so I am now on 4G. If I move my finger a little bit to the left or to the right, it moves. So what happens now is I'm not watching the clock anymore. I'm just looking here. Somebody in the audience is smart.
So you see this as a multi-user experience, more people can be part of it. And now what happens behind this, behind these spots here, these are versions, we call audio fragments. And some people might think we take the artwork out of the protocol. Here, one of the audio fragments here.
This microphone is a bit better. So, I have to put my sound on.
Don't chop their heads off when they're really drunk. Take them home and cook them and eat them. Yes.
So, let's do this again.
Yes, these two fat guys are perfect. I'm going to chop their heads off when they're really drunk. Take them home and cook them and eat them. Yes.
So, of course, I mean, this is, we made it in a hackathon. We were in a laughing experience, but there are all kind of funny voices.
How on earth do you want to make that? We had chicken liver last night.
And the interesting part is that I have two kids. One is 4, one is 7. And they, if they see this, they use the phone. They move through it. They're interested. They want to know what's behind the chicken, you know. So, and this for me is also a very important point, is that it is so intuitive and easy to use that even kids are interested. And before you know it, they're 10 minutes busy with this painting. Now, I know that this painting and this example is basically very, it has a fun inside. But it could also be somebody telling about the type of drawing here, the way it was painting, from which year it is, it could tell something about the painter. So it's just the type of content that I put now that gives the example. So let me go to another example. So it's a pity for everybody in the audience. So now I prefer if nobody else logs in, because it's a bit, I will lose my story then. Because what we just saw was an example whereby you use only one painting, but of course you could also do something with multiple paintings. So what I did here, I'm working with a small museum in the north of the Netherlands. They are doing they have an exposition, they have a lot of maps about dikes, Holland is below the sea level, dikes were built in 1600, quite amazing process. They have maps about this, so I'm going there now, E8. So now you see that I can, with my phone, I can swipe, click, left, right. Let's put it in full screen. So this is nice already, because I can select the artwork that I like to see. Now I click on this one. Oh, somebody else is there also. Okay, it's possible. But what I wanted to show you is that we introduced also a loop, because a lot of digitized art, it basically, if you are on it, you cannot really see the details. I mean, there is another painting, I'm going back there, I hope this other person can do nothing for a moment. This is something that is 2.40 meters wide, really, in the physical space. So it has a lot of, the painter put a lot of details there. You can see villages, you can see that if you do this with too much people, it will become crowded also. But you can see here that there is some fishermen. It really gives the whole context of the polder. And if you go through it, you really, you get interested in this story, etc. And if I go now to, let me go to this one. It will take a moment to load, because it's a huge image. The previous image was 50 megabyte, and this one is also, by the way, everything is running over 4G, even my computer, because I couldn't connect to the internet, is using this. So now here you see the vergrootglas, the English word, magnifying glass. And it also contains audio. So let me try to find it. Well, what you saw with the Bosch painting, you guys understand what I mean, but so you're looking at magnified boards, there's also explanation about details, you're listening to it, best is of course with a headphone, and this is really a way to explore digitized art, is my opinion. Now you see a jumping back, also the system is built in such a way that you, if you walk away from the screen, it will wait for 10 seconds. If there's no interaction, it goes back to the splash screen. I'm very curious who this is now. Okay, but it's nice to see that it works. I'm going back to my presentation, which is, I'm closing this because it's too, yeah. So again, we have two screens installed. I also made with Dora an example just also to demonstrate how kind of easy it is to make such a thing. There's an editor in the back end, and we made something with the archive of the photo archive of the conference. So this one you can go into, you can see photos from different years, you can select photos, you can zoom on them also. There's no audio because this is a quick production, but it just shows you how, I mean, if you have a certain theme selection of digital art and you want to display it somewhere. So to sum up, we believe that if you give control, it means also you engage people. We believe this technology can really help you to point people on details, to make them search for details themselves. You get this feeling that you're discovering, especially with this magnifying glass, you really see things that you else not see. It's very easy to interact. We strongly advise institutes to use audio. It's a bit more work because you have to produce this, but it really gives a different impact. And you can personalize audio, you can personalize in language. So now about what is involved, not that I don't like the example that we just saw in the movie, but you need some sort of special pen, you need a table with, you need hardware that is expensive. For this you just need a browser. And big screen and a browser. So if you don't have a computer on your screen, you can plug in this little device. This is a mini computer, costs €150. It has a browser, an HDMI, and it will do the trick for you. So if you have already big screens, you just need to plug such a small device and you can make expositions there. You can put the browsers in kiosk mode. You use the phones, so you get them for free because your visitors will bring this stuff. And there's a web-based system to make expositions, to pair, what we call pairing, so you can put one exposition on a certain place, but you can also move it to another situation. And now, it's also interesting to think, and this we are not really ready yet, how to know, we don't really know how to position it yet. I went, for instance, to the Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam, and their first reaction, yeah, we don't want too much screens in our building because we like physical objects. So this you will always get, but at the same time they have a huge digital archive. So what I now think of as MUCOP is it can also be something which is more on the trespassing part. So let's say in the waiting hall, in the entrance hall. Nowadays you see a lot of these digital billboards outside. If there's internet there, you can also project it there, and then it can also become kind of interactive reclame for your collection to go to the museum. You could think of the hairdresser, people are waiting there, they start playing. And I like this example a lot. This is in Berlin, and you see there are like on this display, it's not very clear, but here there are screens. And so people are waiting for the metro, let's let them play with one of the screens and get information like that. To summarize, it's very low cost because there's no additional hardware required. It's very flexible. I mean, if you make it, you can display it on your computer, you can take it anywhere, you can show it, but again, it's good to have a nice physical setup. So if it's a big screen on a place where people are anyhow waiting, it will work better than if you display it anywhere. And we believe it's really, people will start looking at digital pictures, not 50 seconds, but like 50 minutes. And that's what we mean engaging. So, yeah, I would like it if there's questions in the hall, of course. And again, I want to say that there are two pillars there, and I would emphasize everybody to try it themselves also. Any questions?